You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of What's Up Broadway. We are your listening hub for Broadway breaking news, industry interviews, what's trending on theater socials, and fan Q&A. Today I am back with my co-host Martine Acuna. How are you today, Martine?
Hi, Ayana. I am great. I had a very fun weekend finishing the Smigadoon series. I honestly prefer to like binge watch everything instead of waiting every week for a new episode. I saw the first episode, but then I just waited until all the episodes were out and then binge watch. So that was my plan for this weekend. This series, full of Broadway faces, is just like a dream come true. Like, I sometimes honestly wish my life was a living musical. So can you imagine, like, you're walking down the block and suddenly something happens to you and everyone bursts into song and dance? Like, that would be fun. Like, in the middle of, I don't know, in New York, obviously, it would happen all the time, but I don't know, walking through Prospect Park in Brooklyn and be like, going happy, and then everyone starts to sing and dance. I would die. Like, honestly, it would be the best for me.
I love musicals, but I don't ever want to live in one.
No?
No. But your weekend sounded fantastic. Your weekend sounded fantastic. I loved Schmigadoon, but again, I would never want to live inside of a musical. I actually watched Dreamgirls, the film with Jennifer Hudson, Beyonce, Eddie Murphy.
I love it.
I mean, I've seen Dreamgirls literally 100 times, but the last viewing over the weekend, I was like, oh my God, we need a Broadway revival. So if you're a producer listening, please, please bring Broadway a Dreamgirls revival. Please. Let's get into some Broadway news. Passover had their official opening night on Sunday, and the reviews are in. Here is what a few critics had to say. Christian Lewis, our other co-host, and also theater critic over at Broadway World, said, "If we can follow the lead of this production, Broadway can pass over into something different, something better, something more equitable and diverse, something more political." Mm-hmm. Chris Jones at the New York Daily News said, "Passover is a biblically moralistic work that calls out white America, declares that Black Lives Matter, and demands structural change, especially regarding the police." Adam Feldman over at Time Out gave the play 4 stars and said, "Passover is a risky enterprise, a serious non-musical show opening in the summer amid a public health crisis. And although Passover deals with questions of escape, it is far from escapist entertainment."
Well, talking about openings, Ayana, a number of productions have released a lot of videos on social media to gear up people for the reopening of their shows. Among them are The Phantom of the Opera, Hadestown, The Lion King, and To Kill a Mockingbird. Also, Frozen posted a video to gear up fans for their national tour. I love these videos for one simple reason. They make me so emotional, and I always get goosebumps every single time I watch them. Like, The Lion King rehearsal at the Minskoff Theater, and like watching director Julie Taymor burst into tears while the cast was singing the opening number, it was like, yeah, out of this world. And I got goosebumps the 4 or 5 minutes of that video. Also, Mockingbird's video reminded me of Rob McClure, Conductor's Cam Season 2, Episode 1. That video, you can see it on his Instagram, and he has a lot of people calling places and lights and times, and it's just, it's exciting. It's building up the excitement for our comeback, and I love it.
That's so specific, Martine. I love these videos also. My favorite is Hadestown, the like fisheye cam that they did was so cute. And also I'm really excited for Hadestown to come back. And then the Lion King, they really know how to put out a video, don't they? Like, just to get you excited. The Lion King has been on Broadway forever, but the emotions that the Lion King videos emote are like, yeah. Oh my God, it's really coming back. So very excited. I'm just excited overall that shows are coming back and Passover showed that we can come back safely. The mask and vaccination mandate seems to be working, and I am happy that I don't have to live another year without the art form I love so much.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it's the only way we can go back safely to everything, not only theaters, like to be as close as normal to what it was life before the pandemic. So yeah, me too.
Yeah, hopefully with some changes though. Now that shows are back, the Broadway League recently announced that they will not publicly share grosses for the 2021-22 season. And I'm honestly really happy about it. Any show that safely returns, no matter the ticket sales, should be celebrated. It's hard enough getting back to rehearsals and preparing for the reopenings of shows that have been closed for over a year. Pressure to sell tickets to a public already nervous about returning to in-person gatherings is just adding another layer of anxiety. I'd rather try to make people see that it's okay to return to theater and get them comfortable before worrying about what shows are or aren't making money. What are your thoughts, Martine?
I agree with you. I think right now, people are scared going back into buildings and to like places that aren't outdoors. So just adding this sales part, it's just building things that we don't need right now. And as you said, every single show should be celebrated. It's a major landmark for everything to be on a rehearsal studio or going back on stage. So mm-hmm. I just think that, yes, money is important to keep things running, but why can't we for once see the brighter side of our arts tree and be positive about the comeback? Like, mm-hmm. the only thing we want to do is celebrate what we love in the theater.
And listen, I get it. I'm a producer. I get that, you know, we have to keep a show open to pay people, to pay the artists, to pay everyone behind the scenes. I get it, but theater just coming back needs to be celebrated. We can talk about the money later.
Yeah.
In other news, Moulin Rouge cast members will headline 2021 US Open opening night ceremony on Monday, August 30th. Natalie Mendoza will make her first public appearance as the new Satine, which is so exciting. Do you watch tennis, Martine?
I don't, but I for sure will be watching the opening ceremony just for the number Moulin Rouge will do. And also, it's the first time Natalie will be in costume in her character, and I'm excited for her. Like, I really cannot wait to see her do her thing. And I'm happy for her. The Actors Fund has revealed that performer Debbie Allen, philanthropist Nico Emaley, producer Stacey Mindich, and Stars in the House creators Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley will receive the Actress Fund Medal of Honor at the 2021 Gala. I am happy for them. This is big. And this honor is presented annually to a group of individuals or organizations who are dedicated to enriching the entertainment community. This year's gala is being held virtually on November 1st at 7 p.m., and it will feature tribute performances, the details of which are expected to be announced soon. This is huge.
This is really huge. Congrats to them all. I'm really, really excited to hear about Stars in the House as they kept the theater community alive during the entire shutdown period mm-hmm. with their YouTube series. I literally watched every episode to feel like I was still connected. They did such a great job. And I'm very, very happy to see them getting honored. Let's get into some show opening and cast announcements.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
We're now on a roll with shows coming back. What are the next shows scheduled to reopen?
Okay, well, the next shows to reopen are Hadestown and Waitress on September 2nd. Then The Lion King, Chicago, Hamilton, and Wicked will reopen on September 14th. Are you excited for any of these?
Yes, I have my Wicked ticket. And I'm just so... I can't wait to be that first audience back to see Wicked. I wish they would announce their casting, hint, hint. But I'm really excited to see Wicked. I just know that that first show back is going to be intense. Yeah. The crowd, the Wicked fans, like I love Wicked, but I am not like the Wicked fan. The Wicked fans are intense. And yeah. I'm like just waiting to sit in the midst of them and to be happy just to be back in theater. What about you? Any of these shows you're excited about?
Well, I will always be excited for Lion King. This was my first show on Broadway back in 2008. So I will always root for The Lion King. I'm also excited for Waitress. Like, I just love it. The music is so catchy and I enjoy it so much that I'm just excited for this. I'm really excited for their comeback.
Yeah, Waitress is also has like some intense fans like that follow Waitress everywhere they go. So I'm really excited for Waitress as well, but it's like, wow, I didn't know we could do revivals so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, if so, can we bring Once on This Island back like right
and
now?
And Dreamgirls.
Yeah, Dreamgirls is way overdue. Over in casting news, the Chicago Broadway return cast has been announced. Bianca Marroquin is Velma, Anna Villafañe will play Roxy, and Lilias White will be Mama. What a phenomenal cast. Very excited about this. Have you seen Chicago on Broadway, Martine?
Not on Broadway. I've seen the movie, and just a little story. Mm-hmm. For people to laugh, when I was in high school, I was in an all-male high school, and we wanted to bring, like, my school did a lot of musicals and a lot of performing arts stuff during the 80s and the 90s. And when I was in high school in the 2000s, like, things, arts were canceled, basically. But then when I was probably 15, we wanted to bring musicals back. And they offered me the role of Mama Morton in Chicago. And
what?
I was so close to playing it. I would have loved it. And I mean, who doesn't love Queen Latifah? We also previously spoke about the drama circulating Laura Osnes, who is against being vaccinated. It was recently announced that Christy Altomare, Broadway's original Anastasia, will take Laura's place on the Disney Princess concert tour. I just really hope that Laura changes her mind regarding vaccinations because she will continue to lose work and as more and more shows require their cast to be fully vaccinated. And everywhere, you want to go, we'll ask for the vaccination proof. So I think it's the only way.
I agree. And New York is becoming very strict with proof of vaccination. So it's the only way to be safe. In other casting news, Edmund Donovan will head to Broadway this fall in Lynn Nottage's latest play, Clydes. He completes a cast that also includes the previously announced Uzo Aduba, Ron Cephas Jones, Reza Salazar, and Kara Young. Clydes follows a truck stop sandwich shop that offers its formerly incarcerated kitchen staff a shot at redemption. The play begins previews on November 3rd. Have you heard much about Clydes?
You just saying that, it got me excited. It sounds like a nice story. Like, who doesn't love a redemption story?
Who doesn't love a cast that sounds like this?
Also,
I mean, yeah, the story, but the cast is insane. Uzo Aduba and Ron Cephas Jones. Wow, that's incredible, incredible cast. I'm really excited that Broadway is just coming back with like a wow factor. Let's talk about what happened on theater socials.
Okay, Ayana, you are breaking the internet every time you tweet something, from an emoji to a few words. So do you have any hot tips to share before we get into socials?
Remember, hot tips are just that, hot tips. This is not confirmed. A streaming company is looking to purchase a certain Broadway house. What do you think about streaming companies owning Broadway houses?
I think it may be a great move in terms of accessibility to theater and to these shows that maybe won't come back in 10, 15, 20 years. So I would be excited for a streaming company to own a Broadway house. What I would be worried about, though, would be how much time would one single show stay in that theater once it's been either streamed live or gotten a pro shot production. I think that that would worry me a bit because shows should be changing constantly to have more variety for the streaming service. I would dig the idea just in terms of accessibility.
I agree with you in terms of accessibility. We have to also remember that Disney already owns a house, a Broadway house, and that Audible from Amazon owns an off-Broadway house. So, I mean, it's already happening. It's already been done. But I feel like if like Netflix or Amazon streaming were to come in to a deal, that this could literally change the game on Broadway accessibility, but also like pay for actors and stagehands and people in the back and ushers. And I'm really excited, but I'm a little bit nervous. Like you said, what happens when a show is streamed? Is it an advantage to the show or does it take it away? I'm not sure yet. And I know that a lot of people feel the same way, but I'm excited. We'll see what happens. If it does happen, great. The future of Broadway is now. It is what it is.
But let's go back a little bit into that detail of Disney owning already a house. What I think it's been successful for that is, yes, they launched their streaming platform and they've owned this Broadway house for some years now, but they're not giving away the shows that are on Broadway from Disney. I mean, we haven't heard of a Lion King pro shot or an Aladdin pro shot or a Frozen pro shot. I think it would be great for Disney Plus to have like the Broadway shows in the platform, but I think they've done a very good job at showing the way when a streaming company owns a Broadway house.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Disney is doing some great work streaming and on Broadway. It's 2021. We don't expect Broadway to stay the same. At least I don't. And I'm excited for change, whether it be a streaming company or whether it be bringing people to their Broadway debuts or whether it be hiring actors or backstage lighting designers and costume designers of color. Like, I'm all about the change in the future of Broadway. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what the future may hold.
Before we wrap, get ready for BPN's latest podcast, Burnt, the show that set Broadway ablaze. It is Broadway's first true crime podcast, and it is all about the scandal of Rebecca the Musical. I am so excited for this because it is juicy. Head over to bpn.fm/burnt. That's B-U-R-N-T for more info and ways to listen and subscribe. Make sure to check out BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com for new episodes, including The Producer's Perspective with Ken Davenport. Podcast details what Broadway's recovery will look like. Now We're Talking Podcast's latest episode features a hilarious conversation with Natalie Weiss of Les Mis and Breaking Down the Riffs. Real Talk with Mason Bray chats with director of documentary film The Show Must Go On, Sammy Canold. The Theater Podcast with Alan Seals talks with J. Armstrong Johnson about Phantom of the Opera, Quantico, On the Town, and more. Mama's Talking Loud chats with performer and educator Carrie Michelle Pettinot about her amazing home birth story. And if you missed the Cats cast reunion, catch the special replay of Broadway Reborn, a celebratory welcome back hosted by Mike Abrams of the Wrong Cat Died podcast by visiting bpn.fm/catslive. Remember, you can always find episodes early exclusively through BPN's iOS app. Download it now by visiting bpn.fm/app.
Okay, Ayana, before we end, let's get into fan Q&A. We were asked on Twitter, what does it take to be a theater producer? And I would love your insights as a first-timer producer on Broadway with Passover.
This is an interesting topic. My way of getting into producing is not the normal way that people get into it. I took a bunch of classes on theater producing. I also have a mentor. Her name is Jennifer, who has been mentoring me for the past like 2 to 3 years on theater producing. And then Matt Ross, who is the lead producer of Passover, had this amazing producing initiative called A Seat at the Table. And he asked people who are interested in theater producing, more specifically people of color and women who are interested in theater producing, if they wanted to be a part of this program. And of course, I was like, heck yeah. Like, you know, this is my dream to really be a theater producer, and not really like a commercial theater producer, which would be like Broadway. I'm all about like producing regional shows as much as like off Broadway. Broadway is great to produce on, but it's not my like saving grace. So yeah, like, and I worked with Matt on Passover, and that was like another dream come true. And then in comes Is This a Room and Dana H, which I work on with Matt Ross and Dori Berenstein. And that's another dream come true. So like how I entered it was like just knowing the right people. Having a mentor is very, very huge. I would not say go into theater producing without taking a few classes, without going to school. I know that some courses now at like Columbia University have strictly producing courses. They didn't have that when I was in college way back when. Because I totally would have taken producing courses, but now they do, I know, specifically at Columbia University, and I think at NYU also. But having a mentor who's geared to just teaching you specifically is like a great way to get into theater producing. Also a mentor who is very connected, as Jen is. I would say definitely get a mentor, take classes, and talk to as many people as you can and just ask. Like sometimes a nice cold email like, hey, can I like be an associate producer on this show? Because I really want to learn from you. I haven't met a producer who would say no. You know what I mean? Just so like a cold email would work, especially if you're really interested in theater. So
I love it. And you just said that you took courses. Do you took any recent one that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, Martine. So right before the pandemic, I took the 3-day intensive at CTI. They have a whole like entire platform that is dedicated to training new producers. So I would definitely check out CTI. I'm not sure if they're doing in person as yet, but it's something worth checking out for sure. Thanks, Martine. And thank you to whoever asked that question. That's a great question. And I know a lot of people want to get into producing. So thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of What's Up Broadway. You can learn more about What's Up Broadway at bpn.fm/WUB and connect with us on Twitter at BWayPodNetwork. Send us a hot tip and please make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a rating and tune in next week for another episode of What's Up Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.